Hey everybody, thanks for coming. It's really great to have you all here. I'm Jonathan Stern, Acting Director of Media at McGill for 2014-15. And I'm also delighted to be here, and I'm really excited about our lineup of speakers over the next 2 days. I'm going to do a little business before Nick and I introduce the conference, and to my right this is Nick Mirzoff. So the panels are going to be moderated by professors from McGill and Concordia Universities. We have introduced a strict 30-minute time limitation for talks so that there's time for Q&A and discussion at the end of each session. The first question during Q&A will always be posed by student research delegates who are currently enrolled in my graduate course, coincidentally entitled Sound Vision Action. These students have conducted background research on the assigned topics and speakers. They prepared their questions in advance. They're also conducting personal interviews with speakers during the closed sessions at the end of the day, Friday and Saturday. So, the colloquium is going to be live streamed, and the videos of the colloquium will be archived on the colloquium website, which is soundvisionaction.cc, as well as on our website, media.mcgill.ca. Our hashtag SVA2014, is on Twitter, and feel free to follow us or join the conversation as you like. Do we have Wi-Fi?
We do.
We do. Is there a secret password?
It's a complicated password that's available at the reception, but I can say it out loud once if that's useful.
Yeah, let's do that. All right, bathrooms are downstairs, and I think that's about that. The colloquium has been made possible thanks to the generous support of numerous partner organizations who I'd like to thank on behalf of Media McGill now. They are the Social Sciences and Humanities Research Council of Canada, the McCord Museum, the Dean of Arts Development Fund at McGill University, the Department of Art History and Communication Studies Speaker Series, the Canada Research Chair in Technology and Citizenship, the James McGill Chair in Culture and Technology, the James McGill Chair in Contemporary Art History, the Wolf Chair in Scientific and Technical Literacy, the Center for the Study of Democratic Citizenship, the Institute for Gender, Sexuality, and Feminist Studies at McGill University, the Media History Research Center at Concordia, the International Association for Visual Culture, and NYU Steinhardt and the Department of Media, Culture, and Communication at New York University. And finally, there are the people. I'd like to introduce and thank the staff at Media at McGill for their amazing work leading up to the event. Tamar Tembeck. There's Tamar. Tamar has been a great collaborator in putting this together and in securing funds. Sophie Tupin and Mary Chin have been completely on top of everything. I think Mary's still outside, but there's Sophie. Say hi to Sophie. Please take a moment and say hello to them sometime this weekend. I'd also like to thank our students who will be helping out throughout the weekend, as well as the participants in my graduate seminar who have been great people with whom to read and discuss the work of the panelists. And, of course, I want to thank Nick, sitting next to me, a great colleague and friend with whom I've had some enormously fruitful conversations over the past few years. And with that, let's talk about Sound Vision Action. The idea for the conference began in the spring of 2013 as a question Nick asked me. Quote, why don't your people and my people ever talk with one another? Unquote. Of course, how do you solve that problem? You put them in a room together and you let them talk. So that's basically what we're doing. There have been special issues of visual studies journals on sound and plenty of references to visual culture and sound studies, but neither of us knew of a conference where people from the two fields actually sat down and talked about matters of mutual interest. So that's what we planned. Each panel places someone who uses sound as a pathway into a problem with someone who uses vision as a way in. But we wanted more than just a conversation between two sensibilities. That's where the action comes in. There's been a confluence of forces pushing scholars in sound studies and visual culture away from questions of power and politics. So we put those questions front and center. Everyone on our program has something important to say about how power is exercised or how it can be challenged. And much of the cultural and political theory still in use comes out of or as a response to the social movements of the 60s. The French writers to whom I'm always partial cite 1968, but of course it wasn't that neat. Today we're living through a similar range of political upheavals and challenges. As intellectuals, our work is to develop theory and practice adequate to what's happening out there in the world. And so I'm hopeful this conference will be a modest contribution to that project. And with that, I turn it over to Nick.
Thank you, Jonathan. Good morning, everybody. Appreciate so much your being here. I know there's a lot of jet lag and viruses and God knows what else out there, but let's try and forget it for the next 48 hours. I want to turn this back and thank Jonathan, who has been the prime moving force behind all of this, and indeed thanking everyone here at McGill, and thank all of you for coming. I think this is going to be a really exciting couple of days. And I was remembering on the kind of long plane ride over here where I met Jonathan, which was in Union Square on May Day of 2012 during the general strike organized by Occupy Wall Street. I was giving out copies of the Occupied Wall Street Journal. And this dude comes up to me and says, I'll have one of those. And it was Jonathan. It was an odd and interesting confluence, right? The sort of meeting of sound and visual culture activists in the social field. And hopefully this is going to be the tenor of what we're going to do over the next couple of days. And my sense also of that is one could continue these stories around the room and look at people that I know, think about all the different places that we met. My sense is that we're among friends here and that we should discourse and converse in that sense, rather than that we should think about this as a kind of almost a private encounter where we can really talk in the way that we'd like to. So my sense of sound vision and action is just like Jonathan said, not three separate nouns, but a sentence. A call to us to make sense of what we do as a form of action and as activism. And so to speak very briefly for, you know, no more than 2 or 3 minutes from my side of the aisle, as it were, I think that visual culture is no longer, to my mind, a field in the sense of an area of academic knowledge intending to become a discipline and ultimately a department, God help us. Rather, what I think visual culture ought to be is a field of anti-authoritarian practice. And so, just to give you a couple of really small bullet points about what I mean by that, if you think back, those of us who were around then, to 1990, visual culture kind of came together in that period to investigate the convergence of questions of representation. And I think that was motivated largely by a new kind of identity politics, obviously the end of the Cold War, and the beginnings of the expansion of digital cultures. So you think 1990s, the year of gender trouble on the one hand. It's the year that Paris is Burning comes out in cinemas. If you remember, there were things where you actually used to go and see movies in cinemas. and Madonna did Vogue in the same year. So it seemed that there was a kind of convergence there. And it was the year of the first visual culture degrees at Rochester, at Irvine, and at Middlesex in the UK. So since 2008, we have had, as Jonathan mentioned, a new convergence. Obviously, the financial crisis. We also have 4 other things that I kind of like to call attention to every time I give a presentation, which is, since 2008, the majority of people worldwide have, for the first time in history, lived in cities or metropolitan areas. That doesn't mean that people who don't live in cities are not important, but it does change the way that we think of the world. Since 2011, the majority of people alive are under 30. So this room is actually reasonably representative looking around, unlike many academic spaces that I find myself in. And in countries, in regions like Africa, the majority is under 18, as it is in Gaza. So in countries where there's Ebola at the moment, the majority of the population are under 18. And people wonder why it's, you know, we're having trouble getting it under control. We have, as you all know, and as some of us will already be part of that, about 2.5 billion people with access to the internet. By 2020, it's projected there'll be 5 billion people. So if you're in media studies in any way, we're going to encounter the first universal medium. by the end of this decade. And realistically, I think we're already there to most intents and purposes. We have 400 parts per million of carbon dioxide. May not feel like it outside at the moment, but climate change is what this is about, and we all know the ways in which that's converging. So the Arab Spring, the global social movements, were one set of responses to that convergence, and that's something that I won't talk about here more, but I'm sure people are familiar with that. And the other obvious one of the reasons that we're here, is the output of digital media. So there's 100 hours of YouTube uploaded every minute. So since I began speaking, that's 500 hours of YouTube online. There will be 1 trillion photographs taken in 2014. I mean, Americans take more photographs every 2 minutes than were taken in the entire 19th century. But these media that we're talking about are neither visual nor sound-based. They're computations rendered by software into other forms. They're also ways of negotiating the present and relating it to our personal and political pasts. So this is then not to say that the identity concerns in 1990 are gone. They're different, perhaps more dangerous, I think. You think Ferguson, think Gamergate, think Gaza. So there's a thing called the International Association of Visual Culture, which may not be widely known to you all, but it had an annual conference in 2014. It was called Visual Activism. It attracted a full house of 400 attendees. It was free, might have helped, in the Mission area of San Francisco. And that gathering was inspired by the work of the keynote speaker, a South African photographer called Sonali Moholi. She calls her work visual activism in favor of her right to be seen and to look as what she calls a black lesbian. And that right is technically guaranteed to her by the South African Constitution, but she and others face daily violence and sexual assault in South Africa, in the townships, on a daily basis. So Moholi works in the break between the visible and the sayable to enable the young urban networked world to claim new autonomy from those who visualize and police us. So like her, this weekend, I hope we should refuse to move on. We should claim that there is something to see and there is something to hear. So all the work we're going to hear in some really exciting panels that are upcoming gives us many resources for that. My personal hope for the event is that we'll take time in the panels and still more in the carefully constructed sequence of coffee breaks, bars, parties, dinners, and other such occasions to talk to each other about how these ideas that we have might combine to make forms of action. Now, by action, I mean both ways of understanding the current convergence and things and ways of intervening in it. I do not think we'll all agree on the same thing, and nor should we, but perhaps some of us will. Perhaps some affinities will be found. Perhaps some new engagements will begin. It's time, past time, to set aside the petty narcissisms of academic distinction to think about how activism can be seen and heard. So let's get on with it. We have our first panel is surveillance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the could not be more appropriate topic for visual and sound cultures today. Do you want to go straight in?
Or
we
yep.
going to, yeah, we'll straight
let's
in.
Let's do it.
Very good. So there'll be a change of personnel. Tweet what you just heard. And welcome again, Sound, Vision, and Action.